Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So, look, you were only days away from the beginning of the confirmation hearing for Brett Kavanaugh. And, you know, day after Labor Day, they say they're going to begin holding the hearings and they're going to ram that nomination right through. And look, I've said from the beginning, I don't see a way forward on stopping this. I'm hoping the Democrats can hold the three or four, you know, red state Democrats in line and pull a Republican over like Susan Collins, because what we know is this guy is to the right of even Gorsuch. He's an extremist. He gets on the court, you can kiss Roe goodbye. You can kiss health care goodbye. You can kiss any federal legislative, any regulatory action. You can kiss all of that goodbye under this guy. And here to share some thoughts on Kavanaugh and also the state of health care in the country, our good friend Peter Morley, who just returned from our nation's capital recently with some stories to share. Peter, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick. It's always good to join you on the show. Yes, I wish, you know, I'd like to come on your show with some really great news, but I can give you some empowering news, like on how we can stop this nomination, as you were just mentioning. That I can do. I don't have the greatest news, but, you know, that is a huge concern among the Democratic offices that I did meet with, is stopping the Kavanaugh nomination and the fact that there aren't as many constituents in Alaska where Senator Murkowski has supported health care in the past, and Senator Collins, in Maine, where Senator Collins is. There's a huge article on it in the Washington Post where, you know, with all these things going on, I wasn't even aware of this article, unfortunately. But when I got back from D.C., that was the first thing that I shared with everyone. You know, I met with Senator Manchin's office, and, you know, I'm sorry to say I received a non-committal, you know, response on where he stands on Kavanaugh, but he is in a red state, so he may just come out at the end. I don't know, and he is campaigning as well. But the truth is, no matter, you know, if we're receiving support or not receiving support, we should all do our part and be calling our senators and encouraging them to vote no.
No, absolutely. And it starts with, obviously, the Democrats and keeping them all in line. But also you're going to need a Republican or two to step forward, or maybe even three, given the fact that I think Manchin votes for him. I fear Heitkamp does.
Yeah.
I even fear, you know, the woman from Missouri does.
McCaskill. I did meet with her office. I don't get the feeling that she would. You know, of course, I could be wrong, but they were very concerned about health care, and they were actually, I haven't met with their office before, so it was very encouraging, and, you know, I don't see that happening, but, you know, that's just based on my...
Right, but you never know. Look, I mean, we're in this weird time.
Yeah.
This nomination, this is, to me, this is the game changer. I mean, Gorsuch was one thing. Because you did replace, you replaced Gorsuch with Scalia with another, you know, ultra conservative. So it wasn't a net loss. This one to me is the game. This is the one that solidifies this crazy right wing court. And that's troubling to me because, look, you know, there's probably going to be another one in the next 2 years. I hope not, but. You know, I hear Thomas is talking about retiring, so you may be putting another far extreme right winger in that seat. There, to me, not a lot good coming out of the court.
No, and you know, I mean, I guess the like you were mentioning in the intro, the Roe versus Wade, that's like almost like guaranteed to be gone, like. immediately. But you know, there is this. A lot of people don't understand it, and this is the most, probably the most important messaging that I can share with you, is that there is this court case, and it's complicated because it is tied into healthcare. There are, I believe, 20 attorney generals that are trying to declare the Affordable Care Act unconstitutional, and you know. Judge Kavanaugh has actually made some decisions on the ACA in the past, but they were like the most like outrageous, like ridiculous, like cases. And both times he overruled, you know, whatever was brought in front of him. So he has like two precedents already. So. You know, I did meet with some GOP offices, and that is what they're citing as well. So, you know, again, getting back to the messaging, I think there's a lot of concern in these Democratic offices that they don't know how to, you know, like last year it was so cut and dry, like they're trying to repeal health care. Well, this is a much like more convoluted way, because this case could be heard in front of the Supreme Court and this guy gets, you know, confirmed. He could oversee it, and rule for it. So, you know, that there's a repeal. So, but it's not cut and dry, and people still don't understand the connection. So the messaging is difficult, it's tricky, but I mean, I try to encourage people every single day. There is nothing more empowering that you can do than call your senators. And I've heard this from every Democratic office too. You know, even if you feel they're going to vote, you know, no, call them, thank them, get the volume of calls up. The volume of calls are the most important thing that they need to hear from their constituents. There's nothing more powerful that they can do like than get the volume of calls up. That's the simple answer to how we stop Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. You know, every day I wake up, I'm hoping that, you know, they do a little bit more digging into this guy's record, which is horrible. Yeah. But look, even that, you know, they're sprinting this to the finish line because they don't want his record to be completely investigated. Because look, during the Bush years, there's a lot of hanky stuff I'm sure that went on during his time as Bush's right hand.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I mean, the scariest part for me is he's just really going to rubber stamp whatever our current president wants. And I really don't. It's more of a scary laugh than a funny laugh that was. But my biggest concern is always healthcare, and that's always been my platform, and that I've spoken out. And how do I empower, you know, people who are scared to death? Because if the ACA gets repealed, all the protections get, you know, repealed as well. And that includes pre-existing conditions and affects Medicaid expansion. So, you know, that is, you know, we're talking about like, you know, 130 million with pre-existing conditions, and I believe the number is 12 million for people who have been helped by Medicaid expansion. So what happens to those people? What happens to their insurance? You know, it's frightening. So if anything, call your senators for that, because literally all you need to do is call. If you have a pre-existing condition, I have a pre-existing condition, and I want my senator to support, or I want my senator to strike down the nomination of Kavanaugh. That's all you have to say. It's that simple, because that helps get the volume of calls up.
It's something that's really important to do. But, you know, I look at this, and And again, you know, we're in this really weird period because you've brought up some pretty huge numbers of people who are going to lose their health care. And we're going to end up, I would argue, worse off than we were before 2009.
Yeah.
And we're going to end up where, and maybe this is what we need, Peter. Maybe we need to have this taken from people. And I know this is going to get me a lot of hate mail and angry mail. Uh-huh. And I don't want people harmed. I don't want the sick to go without care. But, you know, we're talking about, you got to get the level of calls up. You need to call your representative. You know, maybe only through, you know, desperation and pain and suffering do we react. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but I know people who have healthcare through the ACA, and I tell them, look, you're probably going to lose it if you do nothing, and yet they won't call.
Right. No, I get it. You know, I get it. As somebody, you know, who is dependent on subsidies myself, I used to think, why do I need to call my government to support my health care? You know, they should be doing their jobs. But you know what? The truth is they work for us. So sometimes when you have a bad employee, you have to, like, remind them, hey, you know, you got to do a better job. So we need to remind them they need to do a better job. You know, I've seen some studies, and I don't, unfortunately, have time to put this together at this point because I'm going through some personal things in my life. But stress kills. And every day that people are under the threat of their health care being taken away from them, I mean, that's stress. That's putting undue stress on people every single day. And that is, I was thinking about this over the weekend. Is there some, like, I mean, this is a totally rhetorical question for you, Rick, but if there's anybody listening to this, if there's any civil rights attorney listening to this, is there any way to do a class action lawsuit, or is the president protected from this?
No, I don't think there's any way of doing a class action lawsuit anymore on anything in this country because the Supreme Court has basically, outlawed all of them. But so, I don't know about that. But, yeah, there's a way to sue the administration for going after health care. But I don't know about on this level that they're putting on someone on the Supreme Court who will ultimately rule against the law. We're in really, really difficult times.
Yeah, no, we are. And, you know, it's like you said, I mean, it is so, I mean, it's a basic, thing that we learn in our civics class, that our voice matters. And that really is what we need to do. And it's just that simple.
So when you were on Capitol Hill and you're talking to these senators and you're talking to these representatives, what are they saying they're hearing? I mean, obviously there are people calling, not enough, and I hope more people will contact their representatives or even sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and write a letter and stick a stamp on it, which I'm told is by far the best way to get their attention. But what are they telling you? What are they hearing? What are they saying?
Again, the messaging, they're having a difficult time, with the messaging and reaching. They feel like they're having a difficult time reaching their constituents and trying to explain this, but they are extremely concerned that they're not going to be able to stop Kavanaugh without without the support of their constituents and the volume of calls. And if we can't get Collins and Murkowski swayed, to vote against Kavanaugh. So, I mean, those are like the major takeaways, the interesting part, though, I met with several GOP offices, and in a really, like, bitter play on irony, or whatever irony is bitter to begin with, but I met with, like, Portman's office, for instance, and, I heard, Well, you know, if pre-existing conditions are protections are removed, well, we'll move. You know, I think they cited Senator Grassley as, because he's a big pre-existing conditions supporter, except he hasn't come out and said anything. But that Senator Portman there's apparently some sort of caucus that's going to, like, protect pre-existing conditions. Meanwhile, there's already protections in place right now. So it's like they're going to remove the ACA to put new protections in place, which is absurd. I mean, when you think about it. But, I mean, so there's a whole bunch of nonsense going on.
Yeah, I mean, so let's say they do away with this. Yeah. What does it mean to you personally? Because I know you've been struggling with a lot of health care issues. You've for a very long time, and right. I mean, you're one of the people that, you know, I look to for strength, because I don't know how you wake up every day and carry on this fight. But what does it mean to you personally if you know Kavanaugh is put on the court and they rule the ACA unconstitutional and they, you know, it's all gone now? You're still going to be eligible for Medicaid, right?
I don't know. I think New York would have protections in place, but I don't know. I mean, undoing like an act as big as the ACA. I mean, it would really depend how quickly things, you know, were put in place. I honestly would think that, I would definitely lose parts of my insurance, whether it's, you know, access that I get to my medications or access that I get to specific doctors, because I have, I have to go through special, I don't know what the word is, sorry, lupus fog right now, but to get to access, like, for instance, like, I get 12 infusions a year, one a month for my lupus, and I have to go through, prior authorizations, and I could lose access to my infusions.
And what would that mean to you?
Well, that it slows down the progression of the disease, and, you know, I've been on this medication for 2 years now, and it's greatly slowed down the progression, so my organs could eventually fail and die, and I could die. So
ultimately, and this is where the messaging is not a problem for me.
Right. Yeah. You know, no, it's not for me either.
You know, Kavanaugh on the court means people are going to die.
Yeah.
What the Republicans are doing, what they're pushing, the attacks on the ACA, the attacks on Medicaid, the attacks on Medicare, all of that equals people will die. And I guarantee it's going to be somebody you know, someone in your family, may even be you.
Well, Rick, I hope to God that's not the case, but excuse me.
No, I mean, I'm talking about you particularly.
Oh, no. I got you. But what I'm trying to say is what I was referring to earlier is that the stress that it causes every day, I can't point to that in research, or maybe somebody has that research, but I can't imagine that the stress from all this, like the last 18 months, the caregivers, the parents with the children who are medically fragile, I can't imagine that hasn't caused them an incredible amount of stress, because I know for me it has caused myself a great deal of stress. But when you're a caregiver, and you know you're already under a lot of stress because you're you know taking care of someone, but seeing you know your own child suffering, I mean, I have many friends that you know are in that situation. I mean, it's cruel, and it's every single day. I mean, I wake up and I struggle every day, because with lupus I have incredible amount of fatigue, but you know, I feel like I can handle it because it's myself. I can't, you know, I have my own way of dealing with and coping with things, but I can't imagine being a caregiver and struggling with this every day. So my heart goes out to them.
Yeah, I mean, and at the end of this, you know, I keep telling people, you know, at any moment, it could be any one of us. We have no idea what tomorrow holds, and by destroying these programs, you're simply harming people, and that's the message. I mean, I don't know how much more there has to be other than taking this away, destroying this is going to kill people.
It will, and like I said, if it's not already done that from all the stress, stress is a huge killer.
And what we know from, you know, to highlight your point about stress, what we know from numerous studies from the UK, during conservative administrations, when you have this kind of austerity, when you have this kind of mean-spiritedness of ripping things away from people and making them, stressed out and worried about if they're going to be able to put food on the table or a roof over their head or health care. We know that suicides go up. We know that depression goes up. We know all of the negative things that you can imagine in society seem to go up. And we've been seeing this. I don't know if you saw the report from the CDC the other day. The number of opioid deaths in this country is skyrocketing. And it's getting worse. The number of suicides, I understand, actually went up. So it's bearing out right in front of us.
Yeah, I think that is the only thing that they really feel that they're. I mean, this is what I did hear on, as far as the healthcare front, is that there are 4 bills on opioids and handling the crisis going on right now, and they're going to be collapsed into one. And they were hoping to push it through in August, but it looks like it's going to go through in September. But I don't even know if that's. It's an omnibus bill, but I don't even know if that's going to be enough to address what's going on, like you were just saying.
And the thing is it, being in a position that you're in, I'm sure you hear these stories from people every day of desperation and heartbreak.
Do.
And you know, I know that, and I know you're one of those people who carry those stories with you to Capitol Hill. I just can't imagine going into a representative's office or, you know, one of these Republicans who's we're gonna repeal and replace with pay or die. I don't know how you can sit and share those stories and know they're just not listening. And if they are listening, they're not gonna do anything to help. I mean, that's where I give you credit for being you. I just don't know that I could do it.
Like I've said to you in the past, a lot of the biting of the tongue and a lot of I feel that I have an obligation to, you know, share the stories of the people that have, you know, vulnerably shared them with me. I have that duty to perform, and I have to, you know, I have to make sure that their stories are shared. And the one thing that people should know is if you do have an urgent story or urgent healthcare matter, that every single Senate office and every single House representative have wonderful constituent services, and, you know, they have wonderful caseworkers, and you can contact them directly. I know who the healthcare people are in each office, so you can feel free to contact me. I'll put you in touch with their healthcare person. And I have to say, whether it's a Democratic office or whether it's a Republican office, they are incredibly quick to respond. So, you know, we just talk about the really horrible things about healthcare. That is a wonderful service that most people are unaware of, and I have put a lot of people in touch with them. So at least I feel like I'm helping people in that way. You know, I do go there and I do try my best to fight. You know, I struggle with my own illnesses, and, you know, getting on a 3:25 in the morning train, having 16 meetings, and then coming back, you know, 12 hours later is very ambitious. But I always tell people this: I never know if it's going to be the last time that I'm going to be able to make it down to D.C. because of my chronic illness. But I always feel like I want to go out with a bang. So 16 meetings. So if this is my last trip to D.C., which I don't think it is, but if it is, at least I feel that I did it. And you know what? For every call that I make to my senator, at least I feel like at least I did something. At least I tried, you know?
Yep.
We can give our lip service and say, you know, by the time you talk about all the reasons you don't want to call, you could have already made those calls. That's the part that bothers me.
It is that simple. Peter, I wish you the best. I have
Thanks, Rick.
Admiration for the work you do, and I hope you the best, and I'd love to talk to you again real soon.
Absolutely. Anytime, always available for you, and thank you so much for your wonderful work, and I admire you an incredible amount, and, you know, you are such a hard worker and such an amazing guy, and I'm so grateful to get to this opportunity and many opportunities to speak with you, and I look forward to speaking with you again in the future.
Good stuff, Peter. Thanks so much. Look, I mean, Peter Morley's one of the guys that, you know, a true healthcare warrior, patient advocate. And look, if you want to check out his Twitter feed, we'll make sure that you get access to that. I'm going to take a quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.